So guess who's coming to dinner? Well, John chapter 12. Jesus comes to dinner. How would you like Jesus coming to dinner this morning? Amen. Or this evening or this afternoon? Anytime we're gathered in the holy temple, the Bible says when two or more are gathered, he's there in our presence, right? So guess what? Jesus is here, right? In the spirit, always, always, always. But this was a time in Jesus' life when he had just in chapter 11 raised Lazarus from the dead. So he had done a big, spectacular miracle, right? And so we know that anytime a miracle transpires, people often gather together to celebrate after that, right? Every time some great event occurs in any one of our lives, we gather together and we celebrate. And we say, wow, that person that we thought was dead is alive again. And it's also true, anytime we gather in this holy temple, in this place of worship, those of you that are here, we're celebrating that you're here. Because at one time or another, some of us might have felt dead spiritually. We get weary, correct? We get worn out. Life has a way of beating us and battering us from time to time, right? And God resurrects us and restores us, right? And we come to this place so we can be refreshed, renewed, resurrected, and restored, and made new again. And because of that, we celebrate. And in the midst of that, God comes to celebrate with us. And that's what happened in chapter 12 of John. So let's go ahead and read that. 6 days before the Passover ceremonies began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. So notice what's transpiring here. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He's on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Keep in mind, that's what Jesus is going to, his death and his resurrection. But on the way, he stops at the home of Lazarus. He goes there so he can be there and celebrate Lazarus' resurrection. So any given time that any one of us go through a hard time in life where we get distressed or distracted or we feel depressed or we feel despair, we feel there's no hope, and God always shows up to resurrect us. And then God comes and visits with us to restore us and to remind us, hey, guess what? You're alive. You're alive in here, right? Okay, yep, right, you're all alive. I can see that. Spiritually speaking, you're alive, right? Right, we were once dead in sin. We were once separated from God sometimes. Some of us got lost, spiritually speaking. Sometimes life has a way of happening to us and that can make us lose our sight of how great God is. Because of losses that occur or tragedies that come upon us or illnesses or whatever it might be. And we sometimes need to be resurrected, right? And once we're resurrected, we all come out of that place of grief, by the way, eventually. We all come out of a place of sorrow. We all come out of a place of sadness and loss and despair and hopelessness. We all come out of that place, right? Because Jesus is a resurrecting God. We don't live in tombs, do we? We live in the light, right? So we keep coming out of that place where we once were into a new place now. And so God has to show up very often, as I often do, to remind you, you're alive and well, right? 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 Yes. Yes. Great things are happening in you and through you. You have a new chance, a new opportunity, a new life beginning when? Right now, this is the only moment you have, right? Right now. Let's make the most of right now, right? And let's celebrate with that, because guess who's coming to dinner? Jesus, right? Wow, what a day that'll be, huh? Day that you get to feast with Christ. Well, we can feast on God right now, can't we? Right? If you're hungry, he'll feed you. If you're thirsty, he'll give you something to drink. That's perpetual living water within you. And he's going to give you hope today. Right? So you're alive. Amen. Right. Ooh, yes. All right. Good. So, very nice. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Wouldn't you think that if you had been resurrected, would you not throw a party? Right? Right? And whose honor would it be for? Christ. God's honor, right? We give God all the glory. For every good thing that happens in us and through us, God gets the glory. It's nothing of ourselves, right? And particularly when we succeed on something, that's because God enabled us to do so, right? Especially the impossible. Sometimes coming out of a place of darkness into light is an impossible task of yourself, is it not? Alone we can do nothing. We need support of others, and we need God's help. And when God does it, we give God the glory and praise and thanks. Yes. So that was why they had that dinner. Martha served, and Lazarus sat at the table with him. Get a picture of that. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. Where's he sitting? At the table with Jesus. Right next to him, right? It's Christ's honor, but Lazarus is right next to him. Do you see where we get to be seated all the time, folks? Whenever you have dinner in your home, there's always a visitor there with you, just in case you didn't know that. Pull up an empty chair. Christ is sitting right there with you. God wants to sit side by side with you and celebrate with you and be with you. And so Lazarus is sitting next to Jesus. Jesus is a man of honor, but yet he's sitting beside Lazarus. And Lazarus is doing what? Being served by Martha, his sister. He's having a good old time. He's back from the dead, and he's eating all kinds of great food that his sister made for him. And he's chilling with Jesus. He's kind of chillaxing there, right? Just hanging out with Jesus. Going, wow, man, I was dead a couple days. I was just dead yesterday, but look at me. I'm alive, and I'm sitting right next to God. Wow, what a day that was, huh? Right, and he's enjoying his time with Christ. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, kind of an interesting thing going on here. We're at a celebratory honor dinner. Lazarus is raised from the dead. He's back alive. Christ is sitting with him. Martha's serving the food. And there comes Mary, takes expensive perfume. Nard was so expensive, was so hard to get in biblical times. It was quite expensive, and it probably took years to save up for that. Many times women would use that when they were married. That would be the anointing that they would use at their marriage ceremony. It was a dowry, if you will. But she takes that expensive perfume and wipes Jesus' feet with it. So what's Mary doing while Martha's serving and Lazarus is eating? She's worshiping Jesus, right? She's anointing him at his feet. She's worshiping him in a whole different way than the way Martha is serving and Lazarus is enjoying Christ's presence. She's worshiping him at his feet, anointing him as though he were her husband. She's got a spiritual relationship with him of worship, giving thanks to him. And she wiped his feet with her hair. So keep in mind, one of the things that transpires is women back then were not allowed to let their hair down. They would always have to keep it covered. The only time a woman took her hair down was for her spouse, to honor. And so the other thing is this, hair was often used to be able to, in this case, worship Jesus. Remember the woman that was the sinful woman that came and worshiped Jesus and needing forgiveness? Remember? That's back in the book of Luke, by the way, and the Pharisee was sitting there, Simon, and he watched this woman come in and weep at Jesus' feet and wipe his feet with her hair, right? It's a sign of devotion. It's a sign of, I love you and I need you and I'm at your feet worshiping you. There's no more, in one respect, degrading thing someone can do, but also no more honoring thing someone could do. Because think about it. You're bowing down at somebody's feet. And in the one woman's case, she's weeping because she's so in need of forgiveness. And her tears wash Jesus' feet. And we see the Pharisees say, oh, if he knew who this woman was that was touching him, he's no prophet, and yet Jesus did. This is a woman that needed forgiveness, right, in that particular story. So any one of us, when we are forgiven, we worship at Jesus' feet and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You ever heard the expression, kissing somebody's feet? That's where it comes from. That's such a sign of, I'm so grateful to you, I bow before you, and I put myself beneath you, but I'm so grateful for you. no greater honor than that. So Mary does a similar thing. And let's see what transpires. It says the house was filled with the fragrance of this nard. So just imagine that. This small room, this small house in Middle Eastern times, that's a very small room, is filled with a fragrance. No longer do they smell the food that Martha had been cooking. Now it's a fragrance of this beautiful perfume of worship on Jesus. And here's what takes place. Judas Iscariot, one of Christ's disciples, the one who would betray him, says, that perfume was worth a small fortune. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief who was in charge of the disciples' funds, and he often took some money for his own use. So what is Judas doing? He's complaining, right? And he's thinking, that money could be used for me. That perfume, Mary could have given it to me. I could have had it. Right? We see different hearts in this story, certainly as well. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did it in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but I will not be here with you much longer. So what is Jesus saying Mary's using this perfume for? His burial. Remember when Jesus dies on the cross, and then they take him down from the cross, and then Joseph of Arimathea comes and he brings what? Spices to put on Jesus' body? Joseph wasn't at this particular dinner, was he? See, Jesus was already anointed for his burial by this beautiful perfume being put on him. It was preparation for something future coming. And it was Mary's honor to, and she really understood. Remember way back when we know about Martha and Mary serving another time? And Mary worshiped Jesus while Martha was busy serving? We know that story, right? She got it about who Jesus was. She knew that this was almost a Passover celebration and that at the Passover, Christ would become the Passover lamb. So Jesus says, leave her alone. She's preparing me for my burial. And verse 9, when all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. So keep this in mind. Here's what's transpiring, right? Jesus is at this dinner. Martha serving. Mary comes and worships him, anoints his body for burial. She's worshiping him, getting, you know, just praising him and honoring him. Judas is upset and ticked off, right? He's jealous of what's transpiring. We also know that Judas is going to be the guy that betrays him. And then all of a sudden, we get a flock of people showing up because they come to see Lazarus and Jesus. So the doors bust open. There's all these people clamoring to see, where's the dead guy? Where is that guy? Oh, there he really is alive. And here's that Jesus guy that raised him from the dead. Maybe, just maybe, he's really who he says he is. So they show up and they see. And then the Pharisees are also there. They come along with the crowd, as they always do. And what do? They decide to kill not only Jesus, but Lazarus too. If we can get rid of the evidence of this guy that Jesus raised from the dead, maybe nobody will believe in Jesus. You ever feel like sometimes the enemy's trying to get out to get you and stop you? Right? Because miracles have happened in your life. Right? Miracles happen. You ever notice after a great big miracle happens in your life that's spectacular? You ever notice that every once in a while something not so good happens after that? You ever notice that? Feels like a roller coaster ride, right? That's the enemy just trying to destroy your victory. Trying to pop your balloon. Rain on your parade. But see, we know what's going to transpire, don't we? Lazarus stays alive. Oh, yes. And guess what? So does Jesus. And even though they kill Jesus, what happens? He rises from the dead. So guess what? You can't kill us. We're stronger than any physical or animal or anything on the earth. I was going to say roach, but I didn't want to freak out the congregation. But I said it anyway. You can't get rid of them things, right? No, anyway. So if you want to ever know what kind of Christian you are, all right, well, remember the old Timex commercials? Isn't it Timex watches? Take a licking and keep on. Take a licking and keep on. That's right. See, don't you love commercials? You can remember forever. But see, now I can remember. You have to remember that I'm a Christian. I take a licking, but I keep on ticking. Yeah, I keep on going, right? No matter what, right? We see that transpire. So let's look at the characters in this story again. We've got Lazarus, who's raised from the dead. That guy's probably like really super high, right? Man, he's like, wow, I'm on fire for God. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right? Any of you Christians like that at all? Some days? This morning, maybe? Next week? Oh, there's one in the back. Beautiful. Oh, there's one over there. Okay, beautiful. How many of you alive this morning? All right, beautiful. All right, okay, good, good, good. I'm seeing that. Beautiful. You haven't lost anybody in the crowd. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You're alive, right? So guess what? What should you be doing? Yoo-hoo, I'm alive, baby. Look at me. I've had some things happen to me, but I'm still here, baby. You cannot knock me down. I'm here until the Lord takes me home. And while I'm here, I'm going to be celebrating. Martha's going to serve me some food. I'm going to chillax with Jesus, right? And every once in a while, I'll take the heart of Mary, and I'll worship him. I'll bow before his feet and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, for dying for me, for living for me and giving me new life, right? And keep in mind, there will always be a Judas among us too. But what happens to Judas in the end? Not such a good outcome, was it? So here's what I want to tell you. Stop worrying about Judas. Okay? Because even though Judas betrays Jesus, what happens? Jesus wins, right? Even though any one of us are ever betrayed by anybody, guess who wins? We do, because Christ is in us, right? Right. And every once in a while, we're going to have Pharisees around us who are going to try to kill us off. But we ain't that kind of Christians, are we? No, 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 no. We are roach Christians. Yeah, baby. You can try to smash me like a bug. But my little legs come back up and woo! I run on, scurry away. I'm back to fight another day. Wow. Trying to give you a visual. I hope it's helping. I don't know that it is for those of you that are not so good. Stop it, Pastor. Stop, 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 stop. All right, I know cats have 9 lives. We'll use kitty cats. That's a much better picture. Right? You see about that story about that cat that fell like 19 floors the other day? Boing, landed on its feet. Oh, wow, that was a cool ride. Yeah. We are kitty cat Christians. Is that better for you? Yes. Thank you. All right, I'm trying my best. Because we know that Lazarus had 2 lives, right, for sure. But some of us have had many, 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 many resurrections, have we not? And doesn't stop at 9. So we're even greater than kitty cats, right? God can continue throughout our lives as things sometimes come against us. We get resurrected and restored again. And here's what happens. When that happens for you, you remind yourself at that dinner, I'm alive. Every time you come to worship, I think if you came running and skipping and jumping in here, that would not be an unusual thing for you to do, would it? If you overcame something last week, anybody? Anybody overcome anything last week? Okay? Right? So guess who's coming to dinner? Jesus. And some of us will serve one another, right? We'll have dinner together to celebrate with you. That's called fellowship. We fellowship together to celebrate your victories. We're here as a church family to say, good for you. I'm glad that happened for you. We celebrate with you. The Bible says that we rejoice when other people rejoice. And yes, we mourn what others mourn, but that's what a family does, right? We're a church family. But every time somebody repents and comes back to God and changes their mind and changes their life and comes back to God, that's a great day of celebration, isn't it? Right? Anybody here ever changed? Yeah. Beautiful! All right! Guess who's coming to dinner? Right? We're here to celebrate that with Christ and give Him glory for that. Give God praise and thanks. A thankful heart is what God wants from us, right? Of course, He deserves it, doesn't He? And some of us will serve and say, here, enjoy the fruit of the food of God. Partake of that. Eat of that. Enjoy. We're here to celebrate with you, break bread with you, and celebrate. And Mary, some of us are Mary who will bow down before Christ and say, thank you, Lord. And let me anoint you and bless you and give to you all that I have. The most expensive thing that I own is myself, when you really think of it. We are priceless, are we not, as human beings? We're so priceless to God. And I want you to realize that. Never discount yourself. Never put yourself on sale. We don't belong at a thrift store. We are not on consignment. And we're not marked down. You understand what I'm saying here? Allow God to bless you and take that blessing that's you and give it back to God, whether it's through your service, whether it's through your worship, whether it's just for you being you, telling your story to others, showing people, hey, I'm alive. Look at me. Man, you should have seen me 5 years ago. Wow. What a difference, right? That gives God glory too. Your life and who you are and who you become is great glory to God. And ignore the Judases in your life. They're going to be that. Judas was a thief. Thieves steal. All right. You can't change that. But don't let them rob you of your joy. You see what I'm saying? Judas was used for a great purpose too, oddly enough. God was still glorified. Even when something bad happens to us all, something good always comes out of it, even if it's passed on to someone else. I heard yesterday Becky was telling me about Mother's Day and how it all started. And apparently it was a woman that lost her mom. And she brought a rose to church, a white carnation in honor of her mother. And then it went on after that. The whole church brought carnations in honor of their mothers. And I guess it was Woodrow Wilson, one of those president guys, who made Mother's Day take place because of that one woman, though. You see, one act of kindness, one thing you do, can start a whole fire of beautiful, awesome things, right? Live your purpose. Do that thing for someone else. You never know how it's going to catch on and become something great for somebody else or the world. And you leave a legacy as a result of that. Look what Jesus did. And just imagine what Lazarus did after that. We don't see anything in Scripture about him afterwards. It's going to be one of those lost books of the Bibles. Because I can just imagine, if you were Lazarus, just think about it. What would you be doing after you had dinner filled up with Martha's food and watched Mary worship your Lord and Judas give Jesus a problem and Mary a problem? And the Pharisees say, well, we're going to kill you too. What do you think Lazarus did? You think Lazarus was afraid of dying with the Pharisees? Of course not, right? Remember those people that flocked? See, here's what I think transpired. I'm going to add some of my own little scriptures, my own little version, what I think could have happened. I think after Mary worshiped Jesus and the Pharisees gave Jesus a threat, I'm going to kill you, and Lazarus too. Lazarus says, all right. Okay, hey, everybody. Hey, this people, all of you that are flocked to see Jesus, you know what? Let me tell you something about me. I was buried like 4 days ago. I was in a tomb. I was like wrapped in cloth. It was pretty dark. I didn't think I was ever getting out. I thought it was the end for me. My life was over. And all of a sudden I heard, "Come out, Lazarus." I said, "Am I hearing something? I thought I heard a voice. Come out, Lazarus." And all of a sudden something happened inside of me, and man, whoo, I felt alive again. And all of a sudden, like, I'm coming out of the tomb. Whoa, look at me. I'm walking out of the tomb. Look at me. Wow. And Jesus said to the people, "Unwrap him and let him go." And guess what happened? All my friends that were standing by the tomb crying, they thought I was dead, but you know what they did? They unwrapped me. Woo! I'm alive. I'm alive because Jesus called me out of the tomb. I'm alive. I've got more work to do. I've got more lives to save. I've got more stories to tell. I've got more people that I can share my story with. And I do not care who cares whether I say it or I don't say it, because I'm going to tell everybody I can, Jesus is a resurrecting God. I am living proof. Are you living proof?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Look at you. You're alive. You're alive. You're alive. You really are. Yes. Let's celebrate that today, shall we? Let's live our life to the very fullest, knowing we are alive and we have many more lives to give life to as well. Right? We have a hope that many people don't have, and it's our responsibility and great honor to tell the great story of how Jesus brought us back to life. Today's the day for you and for me to live our life to the greatest possible, most beautiful way we can and share that life with others, right? Amen. Amen.